See, you can give by reason or you can give by revelation. And if you're going to become a person of faith, you have to learn to give by revelation. What is giving by reason? When I give by reason, I look at my budget. I see how much money I've got in my bank. I say, this is what I can reasonably give. I make a reasonable decision. Giving by revelation is when I say, God, what do you want to give through me?
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? Today, as we continue with our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy, Pastor Rick shares with us six indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success, your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Leaving a Legacy of Faith.
Romans 4:17. God said, I have made you the father of many nations. He didn't have a kid yet. God who gives life to the dead, and this is key, circle this, calls things that are not as though they were. That's not lying. God isn't lying. He's speaking in faith. He calls things that are not as though they were. That is the definition of this kind of faith, announcing it in order to experience it. Look at the Living Bible. It says, next verse, God speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. Friends, if you want to understand your pastor, you need to know that I have the gift of faith. In fact, it is my primary gift. I have the gift of faith. And I live in the world of spiritual reality. And I don't tell it like it is. I tell it like it could be, like it ought to be, like God wants it to be, like it can be. Now, I realize that there are teachers out there, some well-known, who a lot of their ministry is actually just telling it like it is about the world. And there's a lot of things in the world that are pretty bad. And so they criticize this and they criticize that and they put down this. And they tend to be fairly negative because there's a lot of reasons to be negative about it. And they say, well, I just preach it like it is. I just tell it like it is. Okay, that's one way to do it. But there's a better way. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it can be. Preach it for faith. You see, labeling simply reinforces. Telling it like it is has never changed anybody. It only makes people defensive. For instance, if I were to say to some of you guys, you're lousy fathers. You don't spend any time with your kids. That's telling it like it is. Your career is more important than your kids. That's telling it like it is. You say you love your wife, but you don't really show her in sacrificial ways. You're a lousy father. And that just labels people, makes you defensive. And basically, you go, you're right. Look how lousy I am. When you label somebody, you reinforce. When you tell a kid you're never going to amount to anything, you are setting them up for failure. On the other hand, if I were to say to some of you guys, I see in you the potential for greatness. If you would let Jesus Christ take control of your life, if you would let the Holy Spirit live through you, you're not going to be perfect, but if you'll let God live through you, you can become a godly man. You can become a man that your wife really does love and trust. You can become a father that your kids really do admire. You could become a man in the community that the community goes, I can count on that guy. That's a man of character. That's a man who when you can count on him. You could become that with Jesus Christ in your life. Now that motivates me to change. Not telling it like it is. Tell it like it ought to be, like it could be, like it should be, like God wants it to be. Speaking it in advance. Every single milestone in the history of Saddleback Church, I announced it in faith in advance before anybody ever believed it. Every one of them. I announced it in faith, in advance. This is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen before anybody even saw it or believed it. It's just how faith operates. In fact, it's how you're saved. Look at the next verse. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. In other words, you're not saved by your works, your good works. You're saved by your faith. And it is by our confession that we are saved. Now, he's not talking about confessing your sins. He's talking about confessing your trust in God. It's why at the end of every service I say, let's bow our heads and pray. And we say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. Jesus Christ, I'm trusting in you today. That is confessing your faith. We do it almost every service at the end. Say this prayer. You're confessing your faith to God. Last night I baptized between the services. And baptism is a public statement of faith. It's saying, I'm saying I have put my trust in Christ. Announcing it before you experience it. You know, Jesus is walking down the street one day and a Roman soldier comes up to him, a centurion. And he says, Lord, I have a sick servant. I need you to heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. Let's go heal him. And the centurion goes, oh no, I don't want to bother you, Lord. You don't need to come to the place. Just say it. Just speak the word. He goes, look, I'm under authority. I'm a man of authority. When I say it, it happens. I've got staff. I've got servant. When I say it, boom, it happens. So, Lord, you don't have to come to my place. Just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus looks at that centurion and says, in all of Israel, I've never found a man with so great a faith. Why? He understood that faith is announcing it in order to experience it.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Jesus is walking down the street one day, and a Roman soldier comes up to him, a centurion. And he says, Lord, I have a sick servant. I need you to heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. Let's go heal him. And the centurion goes, oh no, I don't want to bother you, Lord. You don't need to come to the place. Just say it. Just speak the word. He goes, look, I'm under authority. I'm a man of authority. When I say it, it happens. I've got staff. I've got servant. When I say it, boom, it happens. So Lord, you don't have to come to my place. Just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus looks at that centurion and says, in all of Israel, I have never found a man with so great a faith. Why? He understood that faith is announcing it in order to experience it. Number five, faith is giving when I don't have it. There is a definite test between giving and faith, a connection. God uses finances to test us. And the Bible gives us the first person in God's list of Hall of Famers, the heroes of the faith, is a guy named Abel, had a brother named Cain. And you know why he made it into the Bible for faith? Because he gave an offering. Pretty an amazing thing. Have you ever had to decide between giving your tithe and paying a bill? This is a test. God is testing your faith. Will I pay this bill or will I give this tithe? Now, here's what it says about Abel. Verse 4, it says, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Notice what it was? It was his attitude, the faith. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Now notice here, it's not what he gave that pleased God, but how he gave it. Let me say it again, because many of you don't get this. It's not how much you give that matters to God. It's how you give it. It's not the amount, it's your attitude. God couldn't care less about the amount you give. It's not the amount, it's your attitude. Do you give it in fear or do you give it in faith? There's two ways to give. When I give in fear, I go, I'm giving this, but I really don't want to give this. You know, I'm going to go help the poor. I don't really want to do it because this is money I need for myself and I'm afraid I won't have enough if I give it away. Or if I come and give an offering, or if I give to help some ministry, or I help to give to anybody, I'm afraid that I won't have enough, so I'm going to hold on to it. Well, don't. Don't give, because in giving in fear doesn't count. You don't get any points for it. In giving in faith, you're going, I'm giving because I know God will take care of me. He's made more promises about giving than anything else in the Bible. I'm going to trust him in this. See, you can give by reason or by revelation. I would like for you to write these words down, and I want to explain. It's very important. You can give by reason or you can give by revelation. And if you're going to become a person of faith, you have to learn to give by revelation. What is giving by reason? When I give by reason, I look at my budget. I see how much money I've got in my bank. I say, this is what I can reasonably give. I make a reasonable decision, and I give an amount that I think I can afford. It doesn't require any faith to give by reason. Even an atheist can give by reason. They do it all the time. You know, they give the Segerstrom Art Center or a lot of other philanthropies. They just figure out this is a reasonable amount, I'll give it. Doesn't take any faith at all. Giving by revelation is when I say, God, what do you want to give through me? How much do you want me to trust you for in this particular instance? It's not reasonable, it's by revelation. You tell me what you want to give through me. Now, an example of this, 2 Corinthians 8 says, because of their great joy, this is the people who lived in Macedonia, they gave even more than they could afford. How do you do that? It's giving when you don't have it. One of the best known Orange County executives told me years ago, Rick, when you tell business leaders that the best time to tithe is when their business is in the tank. When it's going down, when it's in the toilet, he said, that's the best time to give because you need God's help in your life. And it's an evidence of faith. I'll never forget, I've had this test many, many times. Kay and I have been tested giving when we didn't have it. One of the most dramatic examples was when we built this building back in 95. How many of you were here when we were in the tent? All right. So some of you remember the story. Most of you may don't even know this story. We were meeting in a tent. And we decided that we would have an offering to help build this building. And so Kay and I prayed about what we would give, and we came up with an amount that certainly wasn't reasonable. It was unreasonable. It was more than we could afford. But we said, oh, we're going to trust God in this. So we're going to give God this amount. And then I was reading the Bible, and in 1 Chronicles, when it talks about the temple being built in Jerusalem, which was the largest offering in history, $400 million was given to build the temple in Jerusalem. $400 million. And God comes to David, the leader of Israel, and he says, I want you to announce your gift publicly so everybody knows that you're sacrificing as much as everybody else. I will never let anybody sacrifice more than us for Saddleback Church. So I've made sure of that for 26 years. And so we said, he said, you announce your gift. So David comes out to the people and he says, okay, we're going to build this temple. We're going to give an offering, whatever you want to give. Here's what I'm giving. So many cattle, so many pounds of gold and so many tons of silver and all this. And then he goes, anybody else want to give? Go ahead. And they built the temple. And God said to me, Rick, who's the leader at Saddleback? I said, well, I am. He said, I want you to announce your gift. I'm going, oh no. I really didn't want to do this. God said, no, I want you to announce your gift to be a challenge to others. I go, God, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do it. Everybody's going to misunderstand. There'll be some people who think I'm bragging. There'll be some people who think I'm not giving enough. There'll be some people who think I'm trying to manipulate or motivate them. God, I really don't like the disapproval of people. So no. It's one of the few times in my life I told God no. I said, no, I won't do it. And God said, well, you will do it if you want blessing and want that building built. And I argued with God, and I really did not want to do this. I just thought, it's going to be so misunderstood. Some people think it's showing off. And I mean, it just, I'd rather go have my teeth removed than do this. So I wrestled with God. Finally, I said, okay. And many of you remember, we did this thing called Time to Build, which was 4 weeks of emphasis before we had the offering. And on the first week, I got up and said, folks, I really don't want to do this. But in the Bible, it says the leader is supposed to announce his gift to show that we're all in this together. And so I go, you're going to misunderstand it, and some of you are going to judge me, and I don't even know where the money's coming from, because this is an unreasonable amount. But I said, my wife and I have prayed, and we have committed to give over the next 3 years, above our tithe, to help build this building. We're going to give $100,000. And I gulped. And in my mind, I'm going, you fool. And I really didn't want to do it. And I said, folks, I don't know where that money's going to come from. At that time, my salary here at Saddleback Church was $50,000 a year. So I was basically saying, we're going to give 2 years of our salary over the next 3 years to help build this building. How are we going to live on that? I don't know, but that's what we did. I said to the church, please pray for me. Okay? A month later, the weekend that we were going to do this special offering, I mean, I'm still biting nails. I have no idea where the money's going to come from. But I figure somewhere over the next 3 years, God will figure out a way for us to be able to do that. The Friday before that weekend, I got a call from Zondervan Publishing Company. This is in 1993. And they said, Rick, we want you to write a book. And we want you to call this book The Purpose-Driven Church, which was published in 95. And I said, we believe this is going to be a bestseller, and so we're going to send you an advance of $150,000. All right! Okay. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. And I just remember getting up Sunday, the following Sunday, that weekend, 2 days later, and I said, hey, you guys remember when I made that commitment that we were going to give $100,000 over 3 years to build a building? Do you remember? Yeah, everybody's, yeah. I go, well, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, on Friday, I got this call from a company called Zondervan, and I told, and when I explained that, the place went wild. I mean, they were jumping and shouting and dancing and singing, and people were crying. I was crying. Kay was crying. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I thought, I am so glad I never missed that test. I nearly missed it. Because of my own stubbornness, I would have missed how God is dependable if I hadn't publicly gone on the record to show my trust. It was a lesson I will never forget. Look at what these verses say. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord by giving him the first part, not the leftovers, the first part, first 10% of all your income, and he will fill your barns and overflow your barrels with finest wines. He said, I will bless you. We'll play a game. You give to me, I'll give to you, and you see who wins. Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 16. On every Lord's day, that's Sunday, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for your offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Giving by faith is when you put God first. All right, number six, faith is thanking God before I receive it.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends His word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, "When I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it." That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage, and this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope, and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers, it's your financial support that helps God send His word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcasts. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to Him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust Him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004 or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. Your gift as a partner in hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.